With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It was like a factory of teachers just coming out of college. Like, it's not like what it is now. It was like so many teachers looking for jobs. Like, people wanted to get into teaching, at least in that area. They were either in school substituting, whether they were building sub, long-term sub, new people, anyone who was getting the full-time roles, they were in the school already doing something. So even though I'm from Pennsylvania, even though I had some connections, I went on interviews and like made it like advanced through. And ultimately, a lot of the times the position went to someone who was already in the school in some degree. So I felt like this isn't, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a job in like a decent public school.
On this week's episode, I speak with a podcasting friend, Jackie Scully, about her experiences in teaching. She has a podcast that's all about sharing teachers' stories, and we've been connected now for a while, kind of sharing how we're developing our podcasts. So I wanted her to come on the show and talk a little bit about her journey from teaching in the public school system to finding really that home and fulfillment teaching in a private school. And it's really interesting for me because I myself am a teacher and I know many other teachers. So it was interesting to hear these stories and hear how the journey progressed and how she found challenges in public school systems that she doesn't find now in the private school system. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode with my friend Jackie. I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Life Shift podcast. I am here with my friend Jackie. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited and just so excited to finally meet you since we've been connecting on LinkedIn.
Yes. Yeah, so Jackie and I don't even know how long it's been. I mean, maybe sometime during the summer of 2022, right? When did you you're a podcaster. When did you launch your podcast?
I launched it in May.
In May. Okay. So I launched this in March. So it was probably sometime like June or July that we met, and we met on LinkedIn, and we were both kind of looking for a community of other podcasters, new podcasters in the space that was not business to business, right? There's so many business to business podcasts and podcasters on LinkedIn. And a lot of times the advice that they like to share is not really relevant for the Life Shift or for the Teacher Story, which is what Jackie hosts and has conversations with teachers all over the world about their experiences, how they got into teaching and how the pandemic affected them. And definitely something that we'll share in the show notes so that people can start listening and connecting with you.
Thank you.
You're a podcaster. What do you love about podcasting?
Well, it's funny because I would never, ever see myself as a podcaster. I don't really like to share my voice. And I don't, in the beginning, did not like listening to it. And I just got really into listening to podcasts, particularly during the pandemic. I just started having these conversations with teachers. And I'm like, they need to share their voice. Like, this needs to be out there. Like, a lot of people don't know the behind the scenes of school. And I just love connecting with teachers from all over. I've learned so much from them. I've been inspired to do new things in my classroom, but I've also learned really hard stories that show why it's so important to have teacher advocacy and really kind of transform the education system to make it more supportive for teachers, because it's really, particularly in America, it's just not where it needs to be at all. So I just enjoy that connection I make with these guests.
Yeah, and I feel like our approaches are very similar, right? We have our own stories that kind of led us to this. But in these episodes, we're not really sharing our stories, but to, you know, bounce off of what maybe a guest might have said and how that compares or contrasts to what they're talking about. So I feel that too. It's like, you know, you did on your show, you did your own story and how you got to where you are now. And part of today's conversation will be a shift within the teaching world and how that affected lots of areas of your life, which I think is going to be really cool. And myself, I've been an educator since 2008 in a different space with a different experience. Maybe someday we'll talk about that on your show, but that, you know, I can relate to a lot of these stories that your guests are sharing. So it is relatable, even if you don't have that direct experience, right? And to raise the voices of the teachers that are just expected to do everything for the children and comply with whatever political party wants to tell you to do and whatever the parents feel like they need to tell you to do, whether they have the education or not. So you are really raising the voices of people around the world in the teaching space. So I'm sure that's very rewarding.
Thank you. Yeah, very rewarding. And I've learned so much from people in other countries. And I think with that is also looking at not only the differences, but the similarities of what we experienced in the pandemic. And I just love seeing kind of, I don't know, the connections we can make with people that are in Malaysia or in Africa, like all over. And there's a human connection there. So I really have enjoyed that. So thank you for sharing all of that about my podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is just a plug for your podcast. It was nice talking to you. Bye. No, but I feel like, you know, I think it's important. And I think it's the same with the life shift is like, these are just regular, I mean, we're all regular people, right? And we all have a story to share. And if one person hears one of our episodes and it's changed something, or they've looked at something in a new way, or they just felt alone and now they don't, then we win.
I've had that with some of your episodes with some guests that are on that I connected with and met on Zoom, which was really neat. But, you know, certain stories where it resonated with me, like I've been there, like I've gone through that experience. And for them to open up and share so much and be so vulnerable, it's just, I have, you know, immense respect for the guests that have been on your show and how open they are, because it will resonate with people and it'll make them feel also like it's not only me that's gone through something like that.
And that was, I mean, honestly, the start of the life shift was years in the making of me after my mother died, kind of searching for that community of people where I didn't feel like I was the only kid who had a parent that died, because I wasn't, but I felt that way, right? And so hopefully with our podcast, we're sharing these stories. So that's enough about me and podcasting, but maybe we can talk a little bit about why you're here. Oh, well, we should. I think that's part of the podcast. But I like to have my guests start like by painting a picture of what life was like leading up to kind of what we feel is your pivotal moment or something that kind of changed the trajectory of your life. So who was Jackie at that time, right before those kind of shifts?
So not to go all the way back to childhood, but just to look at this shift, I went to a very big public school. I graduated with 900 students. I felt very lost in high school.
900?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was a big football school. I'm not a sports kid. So if you weren't in sports in some way, if you weren't like in the big musical, there really wasn't anything for you. So I just kind of like dived into my studies. And then I went to a state school for college. And then I taught in public school. So getting more into like leading into that life shift, my first full-time teaching position was in Hawaii, and that was a public school system as well. Great experience.
Sounds nice.
Loved it. And it was, you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, right. I don't care how poor I am. Yeah, I'm in Hawaii. I don't care how poor I am. You know, living with a bunch of roommates and just living off of like ramen still from college. You know, you're still living that dorm life, you know, but you're in your mid 20s because it's just, you're a teacher in Hawaii. It's very expensive. But you went to the beach, went hiking. There was tons to do just out in nature, not spending any money. And I taught at a school that was an immigrant community, mostly students from the Philippines and from Samoa. And then we had other students who were from like various islands in the Pacific and some from Hawaii as well. And it was a very poor community. At that time, we were in the No Child Left Behind time period, and we were a restructuring school. There was so many horrible things about this whole No Child Left Behind and the whole way of like these top schools, restructuring, failing schools, all the labels. I worked with the most amazing principal. I worked with unbelievable colleagues, and the students were, you know, they weren't like always like, you know, in their best behavior, but it was middle school too, right? Middle school, but they were really good kids. It was a good school. But on paper, it was a restructuring school because of test scores. And we had a lot of ESL students. And so they had to take the same test as the other kids as long as they've been in America, in Hawaii, for a year. They weren't proficient in English, and they didn't have the preparation for these types of standardized testing. We would spend weeks preparing them for tests. Then they would take the test like over a week span. And then we'd have to go back and like look at the results and then see like where we fall. It's always restructuring. And then the school has to pay for some professional development company or whatnot to come in and do a whole like, this is what we're doing this year. Here's the program this year. And then that program would cut into your teaching time. So like, for instance, in the social studies department, I'm all for like reading programs and embedding that in all the humanities, but we had to go once a week to the library and get on this like online program that the school had to buy as part of their thing they were doing that year that literally had nothing to really do with our curriculum. It would take all this time out of the classroom. You wanted to like work on something like a project and now you got to go do this. Very, very frustrating. Not the school's fault, not even the state's fault. This was a national program.
Oh, yeah. I have lots to say about No Child Left Behind, but we're not going to talk about that here. But I mean, I feel like it changed so much that we're still feeling the effects of now.
And for sure.
Maybe that's something we talk about on the teacher story. But, you know, yeah, I feel like it sounds like this moment in time is like all these outside forces are now telling you to do all these things that are not serving the purpose that you're there for, right? You're like, I came here to teach them about, what were you teaching, history?
Mm-hmm. I was teaching 8th grade American history, 7th grade Hawaiian history.
Oh, that's cool. But like, you know, half your time was eaten up by going to the library and using this tool that was not valuable, or teaching to a test that at the end of the day is not going to matter, right? It's not going to advance their learning or any of those moments, so...
And the students
hated
it.
That sounds frustrating. Yeah. Right, exactly. They hate school enough, you know, like let's let's help them get to a place in which they enjoy, or I'm sure as a teacher, I mean, I know a lot of teachers super passionate about their topics, but when you're told you have to do things in a certain way, did that eat at you?
Yes, it did. Very much so. And like everyone that was part of these, and the fact that it was like a new program every year. It's just, there was no consistency. It wasn't like seeing something through long-term to see the growth and the results. It just felt so kitschy. Like it just felt like, well, we're at this position, we're restructuring. So we got to do this. And it also ate into our faculty time. Like we had to get training on that. And often feeling like we don't even want to do this. So when you're feeling like something is being forced upon you, and the whole kind of point of going into teaching is to be a creator, like to create curriculum that you know, are passionate about. And then you're like being told to do something that's going to cut into that. and your hands are tied, it's really frustrating. And it didn't work. Like, the test results weren't getting any better. Like, it wasn't working.
It's just like constant Band-Aids trying to plug a hole in a boat.
Yep. So then the recession hit. So this is kind of like leading us closer to that life shift. So 2008, the recession, didn't really feel the full impact until maybe like 2009 into 2010 in Hawaii, because most of the economy is based on tourism. So tourism really slowed down at that time. And one of the first big cuts was education. It is a state program. So when I got hired, I wasn't hired by the school or school district. I was hired by the state of Hawaii. So it's a huge, huge publicly funded program. So they cut the teacher salary. I think it was like around 10% at one point. It was like a huge cut. I was fortunate to keep my job, but there were so many teachers that they lost their jobs. There's so many teachers that were leaving. Though there was a lot of recruitment when I went there. So a lot of teachers from the mainland. A lot of them were like, you know what? I'm going back home, or I'm going to another state. And so between like 2010 to 2011, it was just like all of these teachers that I also became friends with and knew were leaving. So I came to this really difficult decision. It was like late 2010. I'm like now kind of alone. Like, my friends are leaving people. I mean, it just felt like this whole huge crisis was just, you know, coming upon us.
Plus your job was no longer fun.
No.
Or what you signed up for.
Yeah. You're doing all of these things that aren't working. Now they're cutting your pay. I was living by myself, so I'm paying for everything by myself. And just everything was changing. So I had to go to my principal and say, you know what, I'm just going to go back to Pennsylvania. That's where I'm from. My mom was also sick at the time. I also missed like so many things in my family, like weddings. But another big part is I missed three funerals back to back. So we had a devastating loss on my mom's side of the family, where her aunt, her uncle, and her cousin all died in like 2 months span. It was like tragic. And this was like before I made this decision, but I'm like, I'm not around for any of these life things. So my principal totally understood, and obviously teachers are leaving, but he gave me this opportunity or option of, we will get a long-term sub for 1 year. We'll hold your position. If you decide a year from now, you know, because I was there for 5 years, I was really committed to the school and to living in Hawaii. He's like, we will have your job open for you a year from now.
That's rare.
That does not happen ever.
Right.
It was amazing. And so I did accept that as an option and said, you know, I will definitely let you know by like early spring of the following year if that is something I want to do, if I want to come back. So I moved back to Pennsylvania in June 2011. And it was awful. It was an awful, awful year. I moved back in with my parents. So again, I am super independent. I've been out of my home since 18, between living in college and then literally moving to Hawaii. And, you know, I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a teaching job, like a decent one. And I started to apply and go on interviews like the whole summer of 2011 into the fall of 2011. All I was trying to get a full-time job. I was getting like, you can be a sub here. You know, here's a part-time role here where like you might teach at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. So you can't really work another job.
So were you sitting there like, why did I leave Hawaii?
Yes.
You're like, I had a stable thing. It wasn't the greatest, but it's better than this.
Yeah, I was kicking myself. I was like, what did I do? This is not the life I want to live. I was living at home with my parents. I didn't have a full-time job. I took a full-time job in retail since that's what I did when I was, you know, in college.
Everyone should do retail, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone should work in retail and or a restaurant. Just, you know, this is off topic, but I think just to learn humanity and learn how to treat other people when you're in those places.
I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, the highlight of that year, well, two things. I went back to school to get my master's because I might as well, right? Because I never had the ability to do that in Hawaii because I couldn't afford it. And I had multiple jobs in Hawaii to live there. So I had no time. But I worked at a jewelry store and I really liked it. It was like a high-end jewelry store. And I basically, most of what I sold was engagement rings.
So, that's fun. All coming in for happy reasons. So yeah, you have until you tell them the price.
Yeah. Or it gets returned.
Oh, yeah. That's
then you're like, oh, it didn't work out for you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I mean, so in Pennsylvania, it was like a factory of teachers just coming out of college. Like, it's not like what it is now. It was like so many teachers looking for jobs. Like, people wanted to get into teaching, at least in that area. They were either in school substituting, whether they were building sub, long-term sub, new people, anyone who was getting the full-time roles, they were in the school already doing something. So even though I'm from Pennsylvania, even though I had some connections, I went on interviews and like made it like advanced through. And ultimately, a lot of the times the position went to someone who was already in the school in some degree. So I felt like this isn't, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a job in like a decent public school. Yeah, I could have gotten a job at some other schools that maybe I just knew were going to be super challenging or where the salary was super low. And I just didn't want to do that and know that I was probably going to quit in like a year. In my master's program, as I advanced through it, you had to be in the classroom. So I'm like, I'm not in the classroom. Like, I was doing substitute work, but that wasn't like what
right.
you have to
you
do.
You were developing curriculum and...
Yeah, this was project-based. I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have to finish this program. I'm committed to it. I'm paying for it. And I just don't know if I'm ever going to get that public school job. And so I was engaged before. So I'm married now, but I was engaged to someone else before. And we moved to Maryland, the top of Maryland. And it's still not too far away from, I lived in like southeastern Pennsylvania, because he got a job in Maryland. He was also a teacher. And so we moved there. And for that summer, this was 2013, I was still just trying to get then a public school job in Maryland. And it was the same.
So you were doing that for like 2 years?
Yeah, it was the same thing. Couldn't find a public school job in Maryland. For history, it's like really, he was teaching math, science, special education. You're going to find a job. And I wanted to stay in history and social studies. I did get an English certificate as well. So I could teach English, but I really, my background is history. So that's what I wanted to teach. Then got this ping, got this like idea to just look at private schools. I don't know why it took that long to come to me. I just didn't have that experience.
I think you can assume that the known entity is like the easier path, right? If you've gone through public school K through 12, and then you go to a big public school and the experience in a public school and having larger classes and things like that, I feel like that's the natural draw. But so what happened when you kind of, this new world of private school?
So what happened was I was at the very top of Maryland. So not too far away, like half hour, 40 minutes is Wilmington, Delaware. And Wilmington, Delaware has a ton of private schools. So Delaware doesn't have a strong public school system. They don't have sales tax. They have low taxes in general. So we all know taxes fund schools. There's a lot of inequity in public schools because it's all due to taxes. So there's a lot of private schools. I never was around a lot of private schools because the schools that I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, the public schools, they were great. They were strong schools. So I went online and I was just looking at any kind of private schools in the Delaware area. And I came across the school, Ursuline Academy. And it was like on Career Builder, Indeed, one of those job platforms. And I could just email my resume. Okay, so another process in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure a lot of other places in the country, because there were so many candidates looking for teaching jobs in these public schools, they created a system where you had to go online, you had to sign up on this portal, you had to fill out like a 30-page application, you had to like write essays. It was ridiculous. You had to upload everything, even your transcripts.
And not get a call.
And then not get a call. And it was exhausting. It would take hours to apply. This was like email.
You were like, yes.
Yeah, just email your resume, I think, cover letter, letters of recommendation. That's it. And I got a call like a few days later. It was just like, bam, bam.
And then you entered, did you get that job?
Yeah. So I interviewed, and then I was like a week later, I got the job. What also helped is it was in the summer. So there was also like the need to get this process moving. So that's why I kind of moved so fast. And I started that job engaged. And it was funny, like during teacher orientation, because yes, teachers go through orientation just to get to know the school. But they're like, you know, share something personal in your life. And I was like, oh, I'm engaged. It was like a month into the school year. I'm like, oh, I'm not engaged.
Oh, no. You were the one returning that ring.
I was. I know. And that was my job before, which was so funny that I've experienced that. So yeah, it didn't work out for the best, absolutely for the best. And it was like a mutual decision. It just wasn't going to work out. But kind of interesting how kismet this was, that this job became this new opportunity and it gave me my independence. Like I needed to, I moved to Maryland. I was able to commute there, but then I ended up moving up to Wilmington, Delaware. I loved it. I mean, I couldn't believe I would love it so much because it's also, it's an all-girl Catholic school. I had no idea like what this was going to be like. And I was teaching AP psychology for the first time. And in the interview, I remember they asked me, you know, you've taught history, you've taught, you know, basically all of like just social studies. And this is like, it's a science, but it's like still in like social sciences, right? And social studies departments. But I remember they asked like, how do you feel teaching AP psychology since you don't have that experience? I was like, I taught Hawaiian history coming from Pennsylvania to kids who were like part Hawaiian and Samoan. So I feel like I can tackle it. I also had a lot of psychology like within my coursework. So I felt strong in certain areas of that class. I just loved it. The community was so beautiful. I've never experienced anything like that tight knit.
What was so different about the job?
Well, the pay was low.
Did you have to abide by the No Child Left Behind stuff that you were experiencing? So it was all self-contained. You were able to actually do the job that you always wanted to do?
Yeah. So the curriculum was AP psychology and like a world regional history, which essentially an AP class is kind of like written for you, and then you can just kind of make it your own with projects and assessments, but you have to follow like certain units you have to cover. The other course, I literally could rewrite myself. Like I could create curriculum, and there was no state testing, and we weren't under No Child Left Behind. At that time, the Common Core was big in schools, which transformed a lot of subjects. I know there were a lot of people really upset with how math was being taught. We didn't have Common Core. We didn't have to do any of that. It was purely independent. We weren't even part of the archdiocese. So as a Catholic school, we were still very, very independent. So we had a lot of flexibility in how we could teach the curriculum. The classes were smaller.
Right. And you're able to like teach.
Teach.
Like actually have the experience of helping others learn something that they're supposed to learn instead of, can you pass this test and forget all the information tomorrow?
Yeah. And they were, for the most part, some students were kind of probably like their parents just wanted them to go there, but they were students who really wanted to be there. There was a lot of motivation. They were really great students, like high achieving students, small classes. And since Ursuline Academy is part of this network of schools, there's Ursuline schools throughout the world. Like there's like 100. There was global education in our school. So we were able to, I only experienced one trip, but there were trips each year to different Ursuline schools throughout the world. Our school went to South Africa, Peru, Dallas, Texas, France.
Kind of like an exchange kind of thing?
Yeah, it was so cool. So it wasn't like a full exchange for like a whole year. I think that might have happened with some students, but it was like a week or two. You would go, and that student would live with a family. And then like the following year, they tried to do it where then that family, that student would come to our school. And they're like, yay, Wilmington, Delaware.
Which you would never see in a public school setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like for the first time in many, many years, you probably enjoyed your daytime.
I did. I really did.
More. And, you know, at the end, I'm thinking the end of your Hawaiian, you experience, you were going through your day not enjoying it. And then you would come home and all your friends had left because they all lost their job. So it was like, there's no redeeming side of your day. I know you mentioned this personal issue that, or you know, the end of an engagement at this beginning of that. Was the daytime serving that grief or redevelopment of your personal life?
Yes, absolutely. I really think this job came into my life, this position at the right time, because say we decided to break off the engagement and I had moved to Maryland, had no job, you know where I would be back again? My family's home. And at that point, I was like 31.
So this job was really like a reset in your life to kind of trigger a new version of you. I'm assuming you're still in a private school, but you're not in Delaware.
Yeah, I am still in a private school, but I'm in New Jersey. Yeah.
So you've kind of private, still kind of this journey is, how has it changed from when you first started in a private school to where you are now? Like, is there commonalities or like, what's your life like now that like private school is filling your cup, or does it not?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So I moved because I got married. And then I did the
new marriage
for 1 year. Yeah, a new marriage.
New engagement and the new person. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And I did the commute for 1 year from New Jersey to Wilmington, Delaware, which really doesn't sound like all these states are very close together.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was over an hour. And on the bad weather days, like in the winter, yeah, there was one day that kind of pushed me over of like, I got to look for something in New Jersey. So there was a snowstorm coming in, but it was coming in at the end of the school day. And we didn't get out early. I don't know why they didn't make the call. It took me 3.5 hours to get home.
I've been there. When I lived in Boston, it was like I worked 20 miles away and it took me 90 minutes to get home on a good day. So I understand that. And it's funny too, for anyone that doesn't live in the Northeast, anywhere but the Northeast, pretty much. It takes a long time to go from one state to another, whereas in the Northeast, you can go from like Massachusetts to Rhode Island to Connecticut all in like an hour or less.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm like constantly in Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, like four states all the time.
Right. And I'm in Florida. It's like 4 hours to get to another state.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe not four.
That's so true. Imagine being in Texas or California. No, you're like, I'm just here forever.
I don't want to be in Texas.
No, I don't think anybody wants to be in Texas. So I was like, I got to try it out. I got to just try. And I was like, in my mind, I will only move if it's like the same type of school, like not, it has to be an all-girl Catholic school, but same vibe or a step up in some way. If I couldn't find it, I was going to do that commute.
Okay.
You know, because I really loved
it. Right.
You
were fulfilled in the sense that you're finally a teacher.
Yeah, I just loved it. I mean, the pay was lower than I knew in New Jersey would pay higher because our taxes are higher. Even just one little state over, it's a big jump.
But you can't pump your own gas.
You can't pump your own gas, which I don't mind because in the winter when it's freezing out, I'm like, hey, I get to sit in my car and I don't have to pump. But it is really weird.
It is odd.
It's very weird.
When I was a kid, this is off topic, but when I was a kid and we drove through New Jersey, the two things I remember is that you can't pump your own gas and it smells. Wherever we were in New Jersey, yeah. Like I think by the dump, but like kind of by New York, there was like a dump there. And I was like, that's all I know of New Jersey is that they won't let you out of your car at the gas station and it smells. But I'm sure it's better now.
I mean, North New Jersey, I mean, I'm in Southern New Jersey. It's not as stinky. Yeah. Philadelphia is pretty stinky, but and it's right over there. But another thing about Jersey that's weird, so many weird things about New Jersey. I can say that I'm not from New Jersey. My husband's not from New Jersey. We have no like ties to like New Jersey in that way. But they have so many roundabouts. It's really, really
annoying.
That's
a New England thing, though, I think.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm from Boston area and there's lots of, we call them rotaries. And then Europe has a lot of them too. I don't know if you've ever been to Ireland. It's like every street has a roundabout. But anyway, back to your story of finding something in New Jersey.
So this is kind of a interesting kind of kismet thing that happened too, just like the Ursuline one, but I would say even more so. So I just got my license in New Jersey. So you have to have a different teaching license in each state. I was like, you know what, let me just have it just in case. Maybe I do find a really great public school and I go back to that. It's not what I wanted, but just as a safety net. So I got that. And it was like February 2018. We're at my husband's parents' house. So my mother-in-law and father-in-law. And we're visiting in February. And I don't know. We were just like just chit-chatting on the couch. And my mother-in-law says, so, you know, is there like a school that you have in mind? I know you're kind of looking. And I was like, I walked past this school in Morristown and it's a friend's school. I don't really know anything about friend's schools, but it looked really nice. And it looked like, you know, maybe that would be like an interesting kind of new independent school experience. And she's like, well, do you want to go and see if they have jobs on their website? I'm like, it's February. Like they're not gonna have jobs like this early. Usually it's like springtime. She's like, why not? Just go and check. And it was all prompted by her. And I also had a really close relationship with her. Like she definitely was like my own mom to me. So we went and we looked on the website and sure enough, there was upper school history like right there.
What's the chances?
I'm like, what's going on? This is crazy.
And that's close by, right? Because you said you walked by it.
Yeah, it was really close at the time. Like we moved later on and just a little further out, like it's like a 25-minute commute now. But at the time, it was like a 5-minute commute. It was like down the road from our apartment complex. I think that was President's Day weekend, but we had the Monday off. So I was like, I'm just getting all my stuff together. I'm applying for this job. So I applied, got it in. That Friday, I was actually at a funeral for a student's parent. I just checked my phone afterwards, and I got a call from the school to come in for an interview. I'm like, okay, this is kind of crazy. And the interview was the next Monday. So it was like Friday, I got the call. They're like, can you come in Monday? So for some reason, I thought it was like for this school, that school year still. Like maybe someone just left and I wouldn't be able to do it. I wasn't going to leave my other job. I was still at Ursuline. because I'm like, why are they doing this so quickly? They just do things very early at this school. So I went on a Monday. It was such a neat interview experience. I've never had this. It wasn't like sit down, meet with like all the, you know, administration. It was almost a full day. So I took the day off from work and I met with like the head of school, assistant head of school, gave me a tour of the whole campus. I met with the department chair, a couple people in the department. I met with the head of the like theology department because a friend's school is also, you know, religious. I met with the diversity director. I had lunch, I think, with the diversity director. They have a beautiful dining hall. And so I got to have lunch, sit down. Everything was conversational. It wasn't even like, hi, I'm interviewing you. Here are the questions. It was like conversation.
And isn't that how interviews should be? I mean, you have, we know that you're qualified, right? You've had all this teaching experience. You have your master's degree. You have your undergraduate degree. Like all that's proven, right? We can look that up and someone will confirm that. But the humanity part of it, especially probably for a private school, right? You need to have the right type of demeanor and you know that you fit in that space because it's more smaller and more, I guess, like a family or community type feel.
Yeah. And it's not like just looking at your resume and what you've done. I think they do it in that style, which again, I didn't have that experience at the other school. This was very different, but they want to see, will you fit into this culture? Like, and sometimes it's not a fit. I mean, sometimes you can't figure it out.
But it's good to know. It's good to try to get to that space. My most favorite of interviews and jobs that I've had are like what you describe. And it's a conversation. It's not like, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And it's like, well, what is that going to tell you really? You know, but tell me about your experiences. Tell me about this. You know, here's what we do here. Well, how do you feel about that? You know, having these real conversations, kind of like we do on our podcast, you know, like this gives us more a sense of how you're going to fit into the space than, you know, here's my 30-page application for your school. Here's my essay that I've proofread 400 times. So it says nothing like I would normally would say it, right? You know, like
so
these are
true.
All. I used to teach a business related class, and we would talk about interviewing, and my prompt was always like, what is the one thing you're not in an interview? And my answer to them, because they would say all these things that wasn't really where I was going, but my answer was yourself. Because I think we were always so conditioned to be like so buttoned up, so rehearsed. So that's refreshing to hear that schools are, or at least private schools are kind of, or the one you're at is doing that.
That's what I really was frustrated with the public school experience I had when I was trying to find a job in Pennsylvania. I felt it took me back to high school. I felt like lost, like a number. Nobody's getting to know me.
I mean, no offense.
I was. Oh yeah, hundreds of applicants.
Right, because everyone, you know, they're really just looking for what's on the paper. How does it fit? How low can their salary be?
I would share these really beautiful stories I had in Hawaii. And it was kind of like, yeah. Like it wasn't appreciated until I went to independent school when the principal at Ursuline Academy called my principal in Hawaii. And she's like, I had the most amazing conversation with your principal in Hawaii. And like that just solidified, like we're hiring this person. And it was human connection. It wasn't like you're on a conveyor belt. And it was such a blessing to make this shift. And so I've been at this school now, it's my fifth year, and very similar to the other school in that it's small classes. It's religious, but it's different. I actually really got into Quakerism. I'm not a Quaker. Like I'm not going to go to meeting on Sundays, but I really do like Quakerism and the way it's kind of infused in our curriculum and in our like school culture. And it's all about like, it's really about simplicity. And it's about taking time to like deeply reflect on things. And when we go to meeting on Wednesdays in the meeting house, which is like this super old meeting house, it's like hundreds of years old. It just like smells like history. It's just so cool to be in the space. You just sit and it's just quiet for like 40 minutes and if you feel like you want to talk about something, you stand, and it could be anything, just like anything you want to talk about. No one responds. You just have that space.
How big is that school? Like, how many students?
So it's a 3-division school. We have pre-K to 12th. So I'm going to say in like the upper school, so 9 through 12 is about 370 students or something around there, something like that.
So a lot smaller than the high school you went to.
Each class is like 70. Each graduating class is like 70 to 80.
That's very small. Significantly smaller.
So small. So I really get to know the students. I get to know the faculty because our departments are obviously very small too. We don't have like these huge departments.
Would you say that that you just mentioned human connection? Would you say that's the biggest difference between teaching at a public school and a private school with what you can do now? Is that you can, I mean, I'm sure in a public school, you're able to make a human connection with your students, but it's not as authentic as maybe it is now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely 100%. It is about the culture too, because I will say, and I did some teaching like substitute, like long-term substitute work in Pennsylvania right before I went to Hawaii. So I can kind of compare the two public school systems. It is the culture too. Like I felt connected with the kids in Hawaii. I had so many. I think I had like 150 on my roster. And so now I have like 50. It's totally different.
Were you ever like apologizing for the way that you had to distribute the content to the students? Like, I really want to do it this way, but I'm sorry, we have to do it this way.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, I did have some wiggle room because I taught a gifted class. So we had a gifted program. And so there were for each course subject. So, I mean, I had some more room to grow and develop my curriculum there. But for the other classes, yeah, I definitely felt like kind of my hands were tied and couldn't do as much. And when you have 35 students in a class, like I had 35 was my biggest at one point, I just felt like I couldn't really give them the attention and really fully get to know them as a person too.
They become closer to a number than a human without, you know, without you intending to do that. But especially when you have all the requirements of you from the federal government telling you a certain way, or you have to teach to a test, or you have to do all these things that are not what you signed up for. How many students do you have now, like in a class?
So I have anywhere from 10 to like 18.
So you know them very well.
Yeah, I know them very well. And this is a new role. And they might have it in some public schools, but I'm an advisor. So we also have time built into the week where we meet with a small group. So I have 10 advisees. And we basically become like a little family and we get to know each other. I'm there to support them academically. We like go over like their classes, right? How they're doing and everything. But then we also like connect as a group. And I really like that too, because it gives you another sense of like this even smaller community. So it was all of these great parts of the private school system, and in this one in particular, obviously was challenged during the pandemic. So we lost all of that.
Do you think it was different though? I mean, I know you've had a lot of conversations with public school teachers and people around the world. Do you feel that you had a different experience as someone that works in a private school versus those in the public system?
100%.
Like a better experience?
Yeah, better experience. I mean, it's still really challenging, but part of doing the podcast and talking to these teachers all over, it made me reflect on, oh my gosh, like I didn't go through any of that. Like, we were virtual right away, which was really hard to do, but we were virtual in March. We had school. I mean, it was on Zoom, but we had school for the rest of the school year. And we had a grace period. Like, if the students didn't do well that last quarter, that grade didn't count. I talked to teachers where they were still having to hold all the kids accountable and give the grade that they earned in the height of the pandemic.
And I think too, there's this, I mean, because you have this human connection with these students, 10 to 18 students, you know them, they know you, there's this reciprocity of like respect and understanding. I feel like someone in your situation might also have just better luck students showing up and doing their work still and feeling like she's expecting me to participate and she's expecting, you know, like I owe her this. Whereas in public schools, when you're just a number, like the teacher doesn't care about me. You know, I don't even know the teacher's last name. Like it's just my teacher, you know? So I wonder if that's also feeds into why you had a little bit more success than what others have gone through.
Yeah. I didn't think about that until right now. So thank you for that. You know, we still had the struggles of like turning on the camera. And of course, there were some students who really just weren't able to do anything. And we did have internet issues with some students too. But no, most part, they showed up and they were working and they were connecting. Like, I will actually say, I didn't mind virtual school in the spring of 2020. A couple of things. I was at home, so I got to wear like my yoga pants. I got to have more time, you know, to eat a proper lunch, to go on a walk. Like my schedule felt like a little lighter in a way. It was a lot of prep work for all the technology. But once you got into a rhythm, it just felt like a little lighter. I didn't have to commute, all of that. But also not just lifestyle-wise. When there were really hard things to talk about, the students like opened up. Like we connected. Like it wasn't just teacher-student. It was like, we are humans going through a really difficult time and we're connecting and vibing in that way. That's kind of now lost a little bit now that we're kind of like just back to school regularly. Like I enjoyed that so much. Like I saw students really caring for one another, caring for you as an adult. I was like having more time to really connect with them. I started doing this check-in at the beginning of class on a Google form. And many of them would just like pour themselves out on it, like just questions about how they're doing, you know, and I still kind of do it now. And they're like, I'm good. You know what I mean? So it felt like they had a space to really want to be connecting with each other. It was great in that way.
So what do you think that switching from public to private has changed about you personally? Like not about your teaching, not about anything. It's like what has like that pivot in your life? Like what have you learned about yourself from that?
I think I've become more of a human teacher. I know that sounds weird. I feel like when I was teaching before, it was like, I have to be the expert, right? And I have to do all these things. And I need to, it was definitely still the, I'm your teacher, you're the student, right? And there wasn't a lot of other like part of that relationship. It's like, I assign you things, I grade. Well, yeah, we can have some banter, we could laugh, especially.
It was more transactional.
Yeah. This is, I learn from my students and I tell them that. I am more transparent as a teacher than I've ever been before. I think the pandemic has been part of that. I open up to them to share things like how like teachers do things and what we're going through behind the scenes. And they really respect that. Like I ask for their feedback, not only in the class, but like just in general with like what's going on in the school, what's going on in like the community. And I'm not as scared to have difficult conversations.
With people other than students?
Well, actually, I could do it better with students than some adults. But I wouldn't have done that, I think, in public school. I don't know. I think it's easier also with smaller classes.
Do you think you're a different human, though, because of it? Like, do you think that your relationships outside of work are different? Do you think there's anything that kind of bleeds into your other part of your human experience?
Yeah, I think I spend more time really getting to know people and like spend time listening to them, especially now having this advisor role and thinking more deeply like about my connections, you know, with people. This school particularly it's a very rigorous school and not just like rigorous, like we just have all these AP classes. We have that too, but you really push like critical thinking to like the next level. And these students are there. So it has really challenged me, you know, to dive in deeper into my curriculum and do more with it than just like, okay, I covered these units or I covered these time periods in history.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like private school has just made you a better teacher. It's made you someone that cares more because you're allowed to care more. And there's the freedom to do all the things that younger you probably thought teaching was. So thank you to private schools, right, for your students. So I love to kind of wrap up these calls with a question. And I'm thinking that you can choose either one. So there's your option to, if current Jackie could go back to Hawaiian recession Jackie and tell her something about like the journey that she's about to go on, what would you say? Or what would you say to someone that's kind of figuring out where they should send their student to learn, you know, should they go to public school? Is there, you know, what's better? So however you want to answer, whichever one you want.
I'll start with the first one because I kind of like both questions. I would tell myself, the Jackie in Hawaii, that life isn't this like perfect package or like linear, you know, timeline. You hit this. It's messy, but that's like part of it, right? And when you go through some really challenging times and then you get to like the other side, it is so sweet, and it's gonna get there. It might take some time, but it's gonna get there. So I would say that.
Like, trust the process, understand that there are reasons why certain things. I mean, I don't think you would value your experience now as much had you not been frustrated with the public school system and what you were experiencing at the time. I feel like it makes this much sweeter because you went through that. So I always think that too with other guests. We talk about like these harder moments in our lives are actually what make our lives so cool now.
Yes, absolutely. You really can't appreciate your life unless you go through struggle. It's, you have to really, you got to see both sides of it. And I don't know, I think just going back to like what I've, how I learned like about myself as a human through this process is just that it's like okay to be vulnerable. You know, it's okay to be vulnerable. Yeah, to be a human. And you don't have to be perfect. I always was trying to be that perfect teacher, and I don't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think that's a product of our generation as well. We were kind of trained to do one thing after another, and that would like check marks of achievement and what we have to do. So I'm glad that you found this more authentic version of your teaching experience, because it probably makes your life that much more fulfilled.
Yeah. And for your second question, I am not knocking the public school system. I'm actually very, very heartbroken over what we're talking about, because A, not everyone can go to private school. It's expensive, right? Unless you get a scholarship. Not everyone's able to get a scholarship. We have to change this public school system. Another reason why I wanted to start my podcast, because it shouldn't be like this. The classes should not be huge. Teachers should be paid better and respect it more. And the qualities I'm talking about in the private school should be in the public school.
And can be.
You know, it is a social program, and it's supposed to be equitable. It is not. It is. I had a student write about how, you know, she's from Camden, New Jersey, and now she's got a scholarship and goes to our private school. Just how different the schools are. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's a good way to end this is to tell people that if they're interested in kind of these conversations about teachers, is to definitely check out the Teacher Story podcast, which is what you do. We'll put the link in the show notes so that people can listen to it and join you on that journey. I think it's just really interesting, even if you're not a teacher, if you're a parent, to kind of hear what these experiences are. I think we're kind of all in this together to make a better experience for future generations, right? This is not just a checkbox. This is like, I mean, we'll talk on your podcast about No Child Left Behind, but
I think that would be a great conversation.
I think it's okay that not everyone gets an A+. I think it's okay that not everyone finishes in 12 years. I think it's okay that not everyone goes to college. There are lots of opportunities for people in all sorts of areas. And I think by listening to the Teacher Story, they're going to hear a lot of these conversations and how passionate people are, even in these low-paying teacher jobs, to do their work, what they want to do and serve the future generation. So I appreciate you coming on the show and finally getting to meet you face-to-face. And it was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really enjoyed this. And you pulled other areas of my life out that either I haven't thought about in a long time or I just didn't think about. So I appreciate it. And you have that gift. You do that.
I appreciate that. And everyone else listening, I didn't pay her to say that. But if you are enjoying these conversations on the Life Shift podcast, Jackie knows this. I know this, that these reviews and ratings help us a lot. If for nothing else, to just keep us going, right? And give us the fuel to keep on. So if you like this podcast, please check out Apple Podcasts and give a rating and review and subscribe and all those fun things. And we'll see you next week on the Life Shift podcast. For more information, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.